Yo, welcome to Simply Bitcoin Live, your number one source for the peaceful Bitcoin revolution. We cover the breaking news, culture, pneumatic warfare. We will be your guide through the separation of money and state. The great Lynn Alden, she's been covering basically her expectations of the macro outlook of 2023. This is great Cointelegraph article that we're going to go through in depth today. And I think it's really going to reveal how the Fed's current monetary policy could potentially affect Bitcoin, right? Bitcoin is currently treated as a risk on asset. That's how the market perceives it, right? So in environments where in non-easy money environments, generally risk on assets perform poorly. So we're going to get into that. We're going to get into all the details. Also, breaking news as well. The IMF is just complaining and, you know, bitching, to put it nicely, about El Salvador basically repaying the $600 million bond payment, right? And they're, you know, and we all know how the IMF feels about Bitcoin. Remember, Bitcoin provides an alternative for developing countries, an alternative to the IMF, right? So the IMF offers these, you know, infamous bailouts, right? But the thing is that those bailouts come with massive conditions. So Bitcoin could potentially provide an alternative to that system. And that's why you had the IMF freaking out. That's why you had the World Bank freaking out. That's why you have Augustin Carlson freaking out. That's why you have Christine Lagarde freaking out. Not so much Jerome Powell here in the US, interestingly. And also Jerome Powell is not so much a big fan of CBDCs like the European Central Bank. So that's interesting. So we're going to get into all the details of that. We always bring the receipts. You guys know the deal. We are Simply Bitcoin after all. But first, I want to bring on my always optimistic co-host. How you doing, Opti? How you doing? How you doing? It's Friday, bro. We got through another week.
We made it through another week. Obviously, it feels good to make it through another week. 4 of 52 down, if my math is correct. You know, man's knows math. Anyways, man, interesting developments. I'm excited to hear the Nico Jones rants today on the news. And on the culture, I saw this thread by Coinbits. And apparently, I wasn't aware of this, but it's been 12 years since Silk Road was launched today, January 27th. So I'm going to cover this thread of theirs and we'll talk about it a little bit.
Awesome. Awesome. All right, guys, it's going to be a great show. Let's end the week strong. Let's get to the numbers. Let's do this.
The Bitcoin numbers.
Brought to you by Noddle. At this point, you should be running your own Bitcoin node. If you don't use your own Bitcoin node, you're trusting someone else's. Run your own version of Bitcoin Core, the Lightning Network, Whirlpool, and Dojo, all from the comfort of your own home. And if you're a digital nomad, you have absolutely no excuse, because now you can run a Noddle through a virtual private server. Visit noddle.eu today. All right, everybody, at the time of recording, the Bitcoin price is 23,180. The sats per dollar, 4,013. Block height, 773,892. The reachable Bitcoin nodes, we are at 12,366. But like a pleb mentioned in the chat, that seems to not include all the Bitcoin nodes, including, you know, according to him, right, it's more in the 40K level, the amount of Bitcoin nodes that exist, not to mention the Bitcoin nodes that are just listening. Anyways, the blocks of the halving is 66,108. Halving estimates April 24th, 2024. Total Lightning Network capacity, 5,275 Bitcoin. Capacity value, $122 million. It's crazy. Like, people need to zoom out sometimes, right? The Lightning Network is roughly like 5 years old, 2017, really launched 2017, 2018. And, you know, we've definitely come a long way, but there is definitely a lot of work to be done as well. My favorite stat out of all this, because it just completely embarrasses and ridicules the fiat state money inflation, right? The realized monetary inflation of Bitcoin is 1.76%. It's creeping down ever so slowly. When we started reporting on that stat, it was at 1.78%. The market capitalization of Bitcoin is $446 billion. In the grand scheme of things, Bitcoin is still a tiny baby, like we always say. Anyways, guys.
Wait, Nico, before you go on, sorry to do this to you, but we got a super chat in already. Oh.
Thank you, Sport Billy. We appreciate the support, man. It's the audience that keeps us going, and really appreciate that, guy. So it says Bitcoin network runs by 47K nodes, while ETH runs 4,300. 2,300 of them run on AWS. The other shitcoins mostly run by 1K nodes or less. 50% of them usually run by the team who created the shitcoin. Thank you, Sport Billy. That really highlights the uniqueness of Bitcoin, the decentralization of Bitcoin. And if you do want to separate money from state, you do need that decentralization, because if not, it will inevitably be co-opted. And that's why you see shitcoiners, including the Ethereum Foundation, ally with, you know, these contillionaire large institutions like the World Economic Forum, because they realize if they don't ally with the state, if they don't ally with these institutions, they're at risk of being shut down. We know since Ethereum migrated to proof of stake, right, the vast majority, because they are run on servers, are actively censoring for a branch of the U.S. government, specifically the Office of Foreign Asset Control, part of the U.S. Treasury. Anyways, so I want to bring this up, and I think this is important. So James says, getting increasingly worried about the dev funding situation in Bitcoin right now. A few really talented core devs are losing funding pretty soon. There apparently isn't enough money to go around. It'd be really nice to see when businesses step up. This could get bad. Then Danny responds, serious question, why does Bitcoin Core need ongoing development? This is not to imply that it doesn't, but rather to determine what goals a Bitcoin client should actually have. Bitcoin is not Ethereum. It will keep going with or without core development. Stefan Levera says there is maintenance required. Stasis is not an option. Tor V2 got deprecated in favor of V3. Listen to this one for more examples. So check that out. From my understanding, Gloria Zhao is a Bitcoin Core developer. Cobra, been around a very, very long time, says it seems less and less appealing to work on Bitcoin Core. The lack of funding, as you say, the very real threat of being dragged into litigation, and the prospect of being targeted for sophisticated hackers like what happened to Luke Dash, all make it way too risky. And I think that's a very, very good point. Remember, if this is truly, if Bitcoin is truly going to separate money from state, the state is going to, or the establishment, the powers that be, you know, those are the individuals, right? They can go after certain individuals, right? And I think Cobra, that's what he's referring to. Last thing I want to read is by Luke Dash. Apparently this is it his account? Yes, it is. Just checked. I've seen hints that some investors don't want companies they invest into the fund Bitcoin development. Not sure how widespread. Okay, so very interesting. That's something that I wanted to bring to your guys' attention. But what I also wanted to check out today, right? So you have that, right? You have Bitcoin. That's the situation with Bitcoin Core development, right? The funding for it. And then what is the alternative? And we always highlight the alternative in our show. We always say Bitcoin or slavery. It might sound a little bit hyperbolic, a little over top, but we 100% mean it. There is no, you know, joking in that language. And I asked Jeff Booth when he came on Simply Bitcoin IRL, check out the episode if you guys haven't already. And I asked him, and he basically said something in his own words. And at the very end, I said, look, I'm going to put what you said kind of in Nico's wording. And I said, so you're basically saying like the future ahead of us is this centralized future of CBDCs, of slavery, or a future of decentralization of Bitcoin. You could say that is Bitcoin or slavery, right? So anyways, I want to play, perhaps a little glimpse into what that slavery future might look like.
I just paid using only my palm at the grocery store without credit cards and cash. Let me show you how it works. You need to sign up an Amazon One kiosk, you insert your credit cards, and the machine scans both of your palms. Then you enter your mobile number and agrees with terms of use. You're all set. I didn't believe that it worked.
That sounds like a terrible idea. So you put your palm, you put your number, like, what is next? Face? Like, and then what are, like, and then fine. It on the surface, it sounds so convenient, right? But think about how that can be abused, right? Think how easily that can be abused. What if you're in the system and it's like, no, this guy protested against the government. He said bad things. This is already happening in China. Let's shut off his money. But it's not only happening in China, right? This happened in Canada lately, where they retroactively made donating to the Bitcoin protests, the truckers movement, illegal after the fact, and they shut down a bunch of bank accounts there. Now imagine a central bank digital currency system where it is literally the flick of a switch, right? So those are the two alternatives in front of us, and as time goes by, the battle lines will be less and less obfuscated, and it will become very obvious it's either one or the other. Governments are always going to want to do two things. They're always going to want to control the money flows. They're always going to want to control the money, the monetary policy to benefit themselves, and they're always going to want to debase the currency as well. The alternative is an open monetary network, rules without rulers. The monetary policy is set in stone. You can't change the rules of the network to benefit yourself, meaning the little guy and the big guy, they're playing by the same rules. It's absolutely beautiful. And not to mention, Bitcoin is deflationary. So it means its purchasing power will actually increase over time. And that allows you to plan for a better future. NVK's handle, which I mentioned so many times on this show, it's deterministic optimism. That is the beauty of migrating to a Bitcoin standard. But hey, you have to pay your dues, you have to do the work, you have to familiarize yourself with what is Bitcoin, what is your holding, familiarizing, taking self-custody of your Bitcoin. We obviously recommend the Jade Hardware Wallet, one of our sponsors, and you should be running your own node as well. You can make one or you could buy one pre-built. We obviously recommend the Noddle, another one of our sponsors. So, Opti, what are your thoughts, dude? It's crazy how excited she is, like, as if this is a good thing, you know, like, yeah. Oh, I could pay with my palm now. Next, it's like, I could pay with my eyeballs. How great, how wonderful. I love this type of life. Like, it is absolutely mind-blowing how disconnected some people are from reality. And I really blame the decadence of the West, right? This wealth, you know, the bread and circuses, developed financial rails, the ease of use, right? But if you talk to someone in a totalitarian country, right, or in a country with high inflation, you try to tell them that system, you know, I wish I had Olu here, you know, he would laugh you out of the room. You'd be like, that is absolutely crazy. No, I want Bitcoin, right? But, you know, we have this financial privilege, like Alex Gladstein says, that we have in the West, and we just don't have, a lot of people don't have that incentive, you know, to adopt something like Bitcoin. But, you know, the legendary Marty Bent came on Simply Bitcoin IRL this week, right? I asked him this question. I'm like, hey, man, you don't think that, you know, people are just too comfortable to, you know, adopt something like Bitcoin? You don't think they're going to be, you know, easily, influence to go to something like a CBDC? And I loved his take. I love Marty's take. I definitely recommend that latest Bent that he dropped. We retweeted it from the Simply Bitcoin account, and that's his outlook on that. Anyways, Opti, what do you think of that video, bro? I'm gonna play it without volume while you talk about it.
I was gonna mention the same thing that you mentioned at the end of this video, like the fact they got a girl that hacks all happy and it's got like dance music in the background. You know, they're like trying to make this seem, you know, semi-attractive girl as well. Trying to make this seem
God
like
damn it, Opti.
Hey, dude, I just understand human psychology. This is just how it works. You parade something that looks good, and then they ask, and then they try to frame it in a position that makes you want to live in that future. And this is back to what we continuously talk about here. It's about the stories and winning the hearts and minds of the masses. And these are just simple psychological tactics where they try to make this seem like it's something that you want for your future, something that's better for you. You know, using your palm, it's so convenient, you know, like, oh, your life's going to be so much better. But like, be under the surface, you know, all of us would not be able to buy food at the grocery store because of the things we say on the internet or the things that you do in your normal life. So like, as Mr. Robot said in the chat, like, F this dystopia. This is why we do what we do. This is why we tell you guys to take Bitcoin into self-custody using the freedom tools that we continuously say every single day: Cold Card, Seed Signer, Jade, Blue Wallet, Green Wallet, Sparrow, Spectre, Moon, Breeze, Phoenix, Pine, all these different wallets, hardware wallets, mobile wallets, because you can route around this stuff. Like, you do not have to partake in this crazy, crazy world that they want for you. Like, you can fight back to fight against this dystopia by simply taking Bitcoin into self-custody. So anyone pushing for this, in my opinion, is just anti-human. I've said it before. Nico pulled me back off the ledge. But I really do believe it's Bitcoin or slavery. And the powers that be, as we saw last week at Davos, like, they're literally saying this quiet part out loud, and they want you in a full technocratic dystopia. Like, those aren't my words. Like, this is the stuff that they're saying themselves. So, you know, like, F this dystopia. Do not fall for the CBDC crap. Do not fall for this, you know, like, convenience trap of, oh, your life's going to be that much better. Payments are going to be that much better. It's all a big giant scam as far as I'm concerned. But hey, Nico, before we go on, we got a few more super chats. So let me pull those up.
Before I read those, I just want to read this comment about Lynn Alden. Lynn Alden for Treasury Secretary 2024. That would be awesome. Okay. Let's pull up the super chat. Another one by Sport Billy. If you go to Bitcoin nodes, you'll see by yourself that they don't include most of the nodes. They mention it. Just scroll down to see it. Thanks, Sports Billy. And this is why we love, you know, the plebs in the chat. Mike Denver, the number of donations need to go up. Guys, also appreciate it, Mike. By the way, guys, keep in mind, we are human. We will make mistakes. Please feel free to correct us. Put it in the comments, and we'll try to do our best. Next,
we just got tagged in this. This is a Luke-Jr.org. You can see the node count for yourself.
There you go. Look. I love that. Love that, guys. Let's keep that number going up. Build your own node. Buy one pre-made. Do it now. Anyways, another super chat from Hammerlane Crypto super chat. So proud of my son, first in our family to hodl a full Bitcoin. Congratulations. Be productive and hold patience. Love you guys. Hashtag trucker. Hashtag veteran. Absolutely love that. This is what the peaceful revolution is all about. It's about individuals taking back their financial sovereignty, and the only tool they have to do that with is Bitcoin because of its actual decentralization, unlike the shit coins. Anyways, Opti, let's get to news. Let's do this.
The Daily News.
Brought to you by Blockstream Jade, built by Bitcoiners for Bitcoiners. It's an open source hardware wallet for the cold storage of Bitcoin. Blockstream Jade houses a full color camera, allowing for fully air-gapped Bitcoin transactions. Scan and display QR codes directly on the device to sign transactions and verify addresses with ease. Use your Blockstream Jade with your favorite wallet software, such as the Blockstream Green, Blue Wallet, Electrum, and Sparrow. Get yourself a Blockstream Jade today and take self-custody of your Bitcoin. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Not your keys, not your Bitcoin. Take self-custody, put it into cold storage. And one of the best options to do that with is a hardware wallet. Obviously, we recommend the Jade. The Cold Card is great as well. Trezor Foundation. So many others as well. So definitely recommend taking self-custody. Learn how to use a hardware wallet. It's easier to write down 24 words than it is to open a bank account. Anyways, so I wanted to dive deep into this article. It is by Cointelegraph. The name of the article is Bitcoin Faces Considerable Danger from Fed in 2023. Lynn Alden goes on to say, Bitcoin still risks considerable danger in 2023 as macroeconomic conditions emotions dictate price action. That is according to economist Lynn Alden, who in private comments to Cointelegraph cautioned on Bitcoin staying bullish after its January gains. Optimism is increasing throughout crypto as BTC USD broadly retains levels, which are 40% higher than at the start of the year. What the rest of 23 may hold, however, is still a topic of debate. Alden suggests that it is naive to assume that the good times will continue unchecked. The reason, she says, lies in the United States lawmakers and the Federal Reserve. Quote, I expect the Bitcoin bottom to be a process. She summarized at the current state of Bitcoin. Quote, Bitcoin prices are heavily tied to liquidity conditions, and liquidity conditions have been improving since Q4 2022. That recovery has effectively removed any trace of the FTX debacle from the chart, with BTC USD now circling its highest level since mid-August. Quote, the FTX Almeida collapse pulled down the industry in the second half of Q4, even as many other assets rallied, equities, gold, etc. Now it seems that Bitcoin is playing a bit of catch-up and getting back to where it could have, where it have been without the FTX Almeida collapse. Quote, considerable danger ahead. What could lie beyond the catch-up, however, could be less savory for bulls. The Fed is currently conducting quantitative tightening, which is the opposite of quantitative easing, removing liquidity from the economy to fight inflation after several years of mass liquidity injections, which begin in March 2020. These are being mitigated thanks to U.S. domestic politics, but later on, the status quo could shift back to the kind of restrictive mood seen throughout Bitcoin's bear market year of 2022. Quote, liquidity conditions are good right now, in part because the U.S. Treasury is drawing down its cash balance to over the debt ceiling, and this pushes liquidity into the financial system. So the Treasury has been offsetting some of the QT that the Federal Reserve is doing. Once the debt ceiling issue gets resolved, the Treasury will be refilling its cash account, which pulls liquidity out of the system. At that point, both the Treasury and Fed will be sucking liquidity out of the system, and that would create a vulnerable time for risk assets in general, including Bitcoin, right? So, and I've talked to multiple other people about this as well. It seems like the general outlook, right, by a lot of economists, including the great Lynn Alden herself, right, is that we potentially heading into 2023, we have not even entered the recessionary environment. Bitcoin has never existed in a recessionary environment. You can make the argument that Bitcoin has only existed in this easy money, right, in this quantitative easing environment, right? Well, we just say it's simply Bitcoin to get rid of all the technical terms of money printing. And it's not like they're completely stopping the money printing. It's just that they're slowing down the money printing, right? And it looks like the market in general is treating Bitcoin more like a risk on asset rather than anything else. Now, as Bitcoiners, we always talk about the famous decoupling, but that hasn't happened. That hasn't happened yet. Bitcoin is trading very closely with the NASDAQ. It's trading closely with those types of assets. Let's see how that changes. But I mean, look, at the end of the day, this is speculation, right? When no one knows where the price of Bitcoin is going to go, but you can't deny that the macroeconomic factors can and have affected Bitcoin's short-term price action in the past. So I don't know how this time would be different. Now, for Bitcoiners, for what we advocate for on this show, stay humble, stack fucking sats, take those sats into self-custody, focus on the fiat mining, put that fiat mining into Bitcoin, think long-term, use Bitcoin as a savings vehicle, don't trade, don't use margin, and all of this stuff, it doesn't really, just cheaper sats for you, bro. That's my take. Opti, what's your take? And then we'll get into the El Salvador news.
Well, please, sir, please pump my Bitcoin bags, mi familia, wrecked out here. No, I mean, I stay bulltarded, so obviously I'm hopeful that this will be the time when we do see some decoupling. But as we know, as we've been seeing consistently in the markets, Bitcoin has been trading as a risk-off asset, even though personally and to a lot of my friends, we consider Bitcoin has been trading as a risk-on asset. But personally, to us Bitcoiners, I view it as a risk-off asset. Like, I'm completely outside of the system. But obviously, as I've said in the past, the Bitcoin price moves by the liquidity on the edges. So while most coin doesn't move The traders are consistently moving the price. So, you know, who knows exactly what's going to happen. As we've seen in the last couple of years, the money printer turning on does have a beneficial effect on the Bitcoin price. So if they're turning it off, then I guess the liquidity is drying up, and just hold on to them bags, guys. Like, try not to sell your Bitcoin. But man, I really do hope it starts pumping this year. I hope we're not in a bull trap right now. You know, I'd feel a lot better that if it did start pumping. We are going into the halving. And as TK said in here, you know, halving is going to coincide with new round of QE. Watch. So, hey, please, sir, be familiar.
Oh man, Opti's talking directly to Jerome Powell. So guys, we are extremely humbled by the super chats. Holy cow. Mike Denver says, I'm not from Colorado. Next one, we got bro baby, as a boomer in a world so screwed up, both of you have figured it out, grind it out every day, spreading the message, work hard. It's inspiring and only respect from an old guy. Well, thank you so much. Extremely, extremely kind. Really, really appreciate it. Awesome comments. Appreciate the love, guys. All right, moving on to big win. I am so excited. I get so bullish with this type of news, more than any of the price action stuff. This is from Reuters, one of the legacy media. We call them propaganda media because, you know, they obviously have a certain spin to the reporting. And this is the importance of independent journalism, citizen journalism, right? Elon Musk has been tweeting about this. The Project Veritas video that went absolutely viral yesterday, you know, without getting into any details of that video, this is the importance because none of that is covered by the legacy corporate media, right? In fact, it's like they purposely avoid it for some reason. There's only a few, you know, legacy corporate people that are still reporting it. One of them is Tucker, but the rest, it's like a media blackout, right? Nayib Bukele said it in the tweet thread not too long ago, right? They'll try to spin up a narrative. As soon as that narrative is proven wrong, they'll just go silence on it. So if the institutions that we're supposed to be trusting for our news are not telling us news, they're telling us spin and narrative, then it falls down to the individual to tell the news. And the internet empowers the individual. It gives you the ability to do what we're doing right now. You could buy a camera, you could buy a microphone. Opti and I are not professional journalists, but I think we have common sense, and we're Bitcoiners, right? But that falls to all you guys, right? You can make a Twitter account. If you want to stay silent on Twitter, you don't want to interact with people on Twitter, you could just like tweets. You can engage with tweets. You can make memes, whatever floats your boat. That all helps in this narrative trench warfare that we're fighting every single day in the battlegrounds of the internet. Anyways, check this out. IMF visit in focus after El Salvador bond payment. El Salvador cleared a $600 million bond payment hurdle this week, but lingering concerns over its financing sources and fiscal policy will be the focus as the country prepares for an annual visit from the IMF. That's right, a sovereign country. It's like how is that not neocolonialism? Like, how is that? Like, it's like, oh, El Salvador, how dare you have these, how dare you have these fiscal policies? How dare you have, you know, these financing sources? You guys are acting sketchy. Isn't El Salvador supposed to be its own country? I mean, it shows you how these people think. What is the reality of how these people view these actual countries, of how the IMF views these countries? Remember what the IMF said? Remember, as soon as El Salvador announced the Bitcoin bond, they asked a sovereign country which voted on the process democratically, and it got a supermajority vote in the, you know, in the Senate/Congress of El Salvador. And these people are still saying this is dangerous. Like, it's like, wouldn't you allow, it's like they don't want, it's like they always spout about danger democracy. It's like, isn't that democracy? Like, it's just a bunch of hypocrisy, man. And it's like, think about the article from Nayib Bukele that we've referenced so many times on this show. Don't drink the elite's Kool-Aid. Anyways, investors will watch for any sign of closer ties between President Nayib Bukele and the IMF during its visit to San Salvador starting on January 30. The so-called Article 4 visit will assess the country's economic and financial developments and policies and has been sharply critical in the past. El Salvador's move to make Bitcoin legal tender in September 2021 effectively closed the doors to IMF financing. Well, you know what? Fuck you, IMF financing. That's what I got to say about that. So let's take a look at how El Salvador has done, because it didn't mention that. The country's economic and financial developments. Some of the lowest murder rates in history in El Salvador. Record GDP growth of 10.3%. And the 80+ percent popularity of Nayib Bukele. Compare that to the U.S. Compare the murder rates to some murder rates in U.S. cities. Right. So you got nothing to stand on, Reuters. The only thing you got standing on is hoping that people don't do their own research, don't do some critical thinking, because if they do, they'll know that you're spouting out fucking bullshit. Anyways, the tussle with the IMF was part of the reason El Salvadorian bonds prices tumbled back then and were depressed until recently, to the point where this week's payment was put in doubt. Who put it in doubt? You guys put it in doubt. Reuters put it in doubt. Bloomberg put it in doubt. The New York Times put it in doubt. I don't think Nayib Bukele was put in doubt. Anyways, the president's press office told Reuters late on Monday the payment totaled over $625 million. Two rounds of bond repurchases focus on this week's maturity, and a bond maturing in 2025 had left just over $600 million outstanding in the 2023 bond and under $350 on the 2025 issue. Right. And now let's take a look at, so we read that, right? So the IMF is visiting, and it's like, you know, they're inspecting, and they're basically saying, is El Salvador worthy of our help? Is El Salvador worthy, you know, of the IMF? Like, but take a look at the conditions that the IMF lays out. And keep in mind, Argentina, for our audio listeners, the name of the article that I'm about to reference is from CoinDesk, says Argentine Congress approves IMF debt deal that would discourage crypto use. That's right. That's right. In a country that has 95% inflation, the IMF is more concerned about discouraging the use of a viable alternative that gives the ability for individuals in Argentina to protect themselves from the ravages of inflation, number one, and number two, gives them the ability to interact with the world financially, right? Try as an Argentine doing business with someone overseas and all the red tape that you're going to have to go through. With Bitcoin, I don't even need to know the name of that Argentine. And they're going to try to convince you, well, you need to know the name or the world will catch on fire. No, I'm calling bullshit. This is just, it's absolutely insane how they phrase this. And just to wrap it up real quick, I want to read, which I read earlier on this week, but I want to read it again. It's the tweet thread by Nayib Bukele. It says, in the past, almost every legacy international news outlet said that because of our Bitcoin bet, El Salvador was going to default on its debt by January 2023. Since we had an $800 million bond maturing today, literally hundreds of articles. And we've covered that. We've been on top of that. Reuters just said it. Oh, people perceived that it was going to do that. No, you guys spun up that narrative yourself, man. What people? You said that. Anyways, goes on to say full page spreads on the New York Times and all, creating the narrative that El Salvador was broke and going to default. I called them out at the time, but of course, who was going to believe us and not every international news outlet and their economic geniuses? Well, we just paid in full $800 million plus interest, but of course, almost nobody is covering the story. I just found one. Yes, one in Spanish from Colombia. They lie and lie and lie. And when their lies are exposed, they go on silence mode. And remember the quote from the Don't Drink the Elite's Kool-Aid Bitcoin magazine article. It said specifically the thing that these elites, right, these financial elites, Opti calls them high-level parasites. I call them monetary demons. Some people call them the unproductive class. Their most powerful tool is the control of the truth. But the internet has disintermediated information. It's allowed individuals to communicate directly one-to-one, peer-to-peer, and that hampers their ability to control the truth and hampers their ability to control the narrative. And yeah, that's right. You guys are losing. Suck on that. You feel it? You feel it? Ooh, sucks to lose, Reuters. Sucks to lose, IMF. Christine Lagarde's Opti's ex-girlfriend, now she's crying. She's watching this. She's like, no, please, Opti, don't do this to me. You're embarrassing me in front of everybody. No, man. Oh, man, it feels good. Feels good. don't let your guard down. They're not done yet, but take self-custody. Enough people, we win this peaceful revolution. And there's nothing they can do about it. Opti, what are your thoughts, brother?
Well, you're cracking me up today. Well, you know, it's just amazing the angle that the IMF is taking. You know, El Salvador pays off its debt and the IMF is worried. It just like, how dare you pay off your debt, El Salvador? Like, you guys should be concerned about your financial status because you're paying off your debt. Like, amazing. It really just blows me off. It blows my mind. And, you know, the IMF is a criminal organization. Convince me otherwise. Like, they I don't know what else to say. You know, that they say, like, we're here to help, and they just continuously act like parasites. Like, parasites gonna parasite. And shouts out to Bayce Bukele, you know, further showing us that the corporate press is not to be listened to. And, you know, back to this kind of the theme of this week, the importance of citizen journalism and the fact that you guys out there are countering all the bullshit. You know, more Bitcoin content like this continues to counter the bullshit, and the legacy media just doesn't know what to do with it. Like, back to that video that you referenced at the beginning of this, like, they are literally screeching out there and have no idea how to handle the fact that people are calling out their bullshit. And then furthermore, that Bitcoin is winning. Like I said it all week, Bitcoin is winning. It is slowly but surely saturating the whole globe with a permissionless freedom technology that is Bitcoin. So it's just, man, it's been a good January, good start of the year. Let's just see how crazy the rest of this year gets, but also how bullish it's going to get for Bitcoiners, in my opinion. Because, like I've said in the past, the more that a government wants to ban Bitcoin, the more that I personally know that I need to hold Bitcoin and I need to spread Bitcoin. So, yeah, man, shouts out to El Salvador. It's almost like they're winning.
Right. And remember, guys, it is a big coincidence. The English translation of El Salvador, for anyone that doesn't know, is the savior. And that's crazy. That's the first country that adopted a Bitcoin standard. Anyways, everybody, let's get to the culture. We got a lot to talk about.
The Daily Culture.
Brought to you by SwanBitcoin.com. Swan is the best way to build your Bitcoin stack with automated Bitcoin savings plans and instant purchases, serving clients of any size from $10 to $10 million. We love Swan because they incentivize self-custody and dollar cost averaging. What are you waiting for? Visit SwanBitcoin.com today. All right, everybody. I also want to tell you guys about BitBlock Boom. It's going to be the biggest Bitcoin conference in Texas. Opti and I will be there. In fact, all the Simply Bitcoin team will be there. Rustin, Opti, and myself. Not all the Simply team. Some of the Simply team. Hopefully one day all the Simply team. But anyways, guys, check out BitBlock Boom. It's August 24th, 25th, 26th, 27th, 2023. It's not a shitcoin NFT or blockchain event. Talk about Bitcoin, and more Bitcoin. You got to get your tickets quickly, though, because the prices do increase in about 7 days. You can take advantage of the promo code, all caps, Simply Bitcoin. Get a big discount. A big discount on your BitBlock Boom tickets. Oh, man. Oh, isn't it fun doing live shows? Okay, anyways, yeah. Everybody, check out Unconfiscatable. It's December 7th through the 8th, 2023, at the D Hotel in Las Vegas. You can take advantage of the promo code SIMPLY10 to get a big discount on your tickets. Speaker list includes Tome Vase, Jimmy Somm, Adam Back, Jack Maulers, Greg Foss, and many, many more. Opti and I will also be there as well. Take advantage of promo code SIMPLY10. Get a big discount on your unconfiscatable tickets. Anyways, Opti, what do you have for us today? Oh, man.
Yo, you get roasted in the chat, bro. All right. Let's pull this back in, because this one is a little serious, guys. So as I mentioned, Coinbits dropped this really good thread. I'll probably cover most of the thread, but they brought to my attention that today, January 20th, 12 years since the launch of Silk Road. And so if you're a Bitcoiner, you've probably heard or seen the hashtag Free Ross. And if you spent any time in Bitcoin circles, then do you know exactly what happened? So they dropped a whole thread kind of recapping the saga and also relating it to what is going on right now. And so here's some of the facts. Here's the infamous website getting seized by the FBI. And so here we go. He's a Bitcoiner, and he's currently serving a double life sentence with no parole in Tucson. He was convicted in 2015 and has had multiple unsuccessful appeals to the U.S. Supreme Court. You know, here's like his initial intent. It says Ross kept a diary where he outlined his idea for a quote unquote website where people can buy anything anonymously with no trail whatsoever that could lead back to them. Or on Linked, he discussed his wish to use economic theory as a means to establish or to abolish the use of coercion. What do we tell you guys consistently in regards to Bitcoin? It is a permissionless, a coercionless money. And the money that you are being forced to use is literally backed by coercion. And you can see here, there's even like a meme. Shouts out the Coinbits apps crew. They continuously kill it. But let me keep going on this thread. So the Silk Road was an ideological experiment for Ross. And he goes, quote, "I am creating an economic simulation to give people a firsthand experience of what it would be like to live in a world without the systemic use of force. By all accounts, he was successful at doing this." So Megan Ralston, a former harm reduction manager for the Drug Policy Alliance, was quoted as saying that Silk Road was a peaceable alternative to the often deadly violence so commonly associated with the global drug war and street drug transactions in particular. And here's some of the numbers. Silk Road service, 146,946 buyers from February 2011 to July 2013. There was approximately 1,229,465 transactions completed on the site. Total revenue of 9,519,664 Bitcoin, or roughly $183 million at the time. And Silk Road's commission was 614,304 Bitcoin. But for Ross, it wasn't about the money. We know this because even as a success that Silk Road had, Ross didn't own a car. He showed a house with roommates. He had very few possessions. And even before Silk Road, he donated 10% of its earnings of a used book business to mentor inner city youth. Silk Road ran as an onion service on the Tor network, but law enforcement were able to identify the site through an undercover operation, becoming a site admin. On the site's operation, monitoring Ross chats time on and narrowing down his likely location that way. That infiltration also helped them seize a server in Iceland. But the breakthrough on the case was made in mid-2013 when Ross' identity was connected to Dread Pirate Robert. So computer science forensic experts consider this to be Ross' only lethal mistake. And in the early days, Ross used a username Altoid, and he put up an email that was connected directly to rossulbrich@gmail.com, which connected him to the Dread Pirate Roberts identity. But on the day of his arrest, he was at San Francisco Public Library, and two disguised agents, a man and a woman, were pretend fighting behind Ross. And one of them says, "I'm so sick of you." And as Ross turned around, agents swooped in on his laptop. Before he could act, he was arrested. Ross was charged in engaging in continuing criminal enterprise, narcotics conspiracy, conspiracy to commit money laundering, and conspiracy to commit computer hacking. He was convicted February 2014 of all charges and sentenced to 2 times life plus 40 years and $183 million in fine. Ross has appealed his conviction, but both the Second Circuit and the Supreme Court denied these appeals. And 12 years since this all started, the Silk Road is but a distant memory in most people's minds. Even at these events above were happening, Bitcoin price went from $140 to $110 in September 2013. Only to go on to 10x into December that year. And there is a lesson in this, and I think this is the crux of the Coinbits point of this thread, is that Bitcoin is bigger than any one person, organization, website, criminal enterprise, or group of scammers. 12 years later, as we sit in the shadow of FTX, Luna, Celsius, Three Arrows Capital, and who knows what else is going to blow up this year, it may feel like we've hit a new low, but this is false. Bitcoin, the network, has never been stronger. It's been hardened by these times and events, and 10 times more difficult than it was that we're now experiencing. The sheer size of Bitcoin then versus now, it was much less decentralized, much easier to attack or quash, and Bitcoin has been here before. In 2013, BTC went from $100 to $1K in the eve of Silk Road, BitInstant, Mt. Gox, Sheep Marketplace, a Silk Road copycat. And in 2022, Bitcoin price went from $40K to $17K, and we're currently around $23K because of Three Arrows Capital, Voyager, Celsius, FTX, and BlockFi, which seemed devastating to Bitcoin in 2013, far and an uneventful memory now in 2022 and 2023. As Bitcoiners like to say, honey badger don't care, TikTok next block. But for more information, guys, go check out freeross.org. If there's anything, you know, you can do, maybe reach out, show him some love, show him support for his mother. And I think the point that I wanted to bring up to this today is not only the fitting time, you know, it's been 12 years since Silk Road was created, but all of us Bitcoiners here are standing on the shoulders of giants, and there is pioneers in Bitcoin that have paid the cost, that had been hit with the brunt of the legal force. And I think it's important for us not to forget these people that have done so much for Bitcoin. Without Silk Road, I'm sure a lot of us would have never heard about Bitcoin in the early days. Obviously, Bitcoin is bigger than one person, but shouts out to Ross, man. He's literally sitting in a jail right now, and all for creating a website. And let's not even talk about all the people that did all kinds of crazy fraud and scam in the last few years that are literally walking around, not in jail. And it just goes to show. Yeah, exactly. It just goes to show having good friends means a lot. So, you know, I don't know what we can do as Bitcoiners for Ross. I think he literally needs a presidential pardon to ever get out of jail. Yep. But I think it's important for us Bitcoiners, exactly, to never forget Ross and what he did for creating a website that literally helped people in a peaceful, non-coercive way. And yet,
okay,
two life sentences. Nico, right. Say what you want about the drugs and everything, but the Silk Road wasn't just about drugs.
Different take on the website. Okay, fine. Selling drugs against the law. Okay, but does that mean that he deserved two life sentences? Absolutely not. Okay, that is absolutely insane. That is absolutely ridiculous. And the reason they did that was to send a message, right? You can't start a website. And what happened when they shut down Silk Road 1? Silk Road 2 popped up, and then a bunch of other websites that do the same thing on tour. So they never stopped anything, but Ross is there in jail. He does not deserve two life sentences. That is the most absolutely crazy thing I've ever seen in my entire life. Right. And then you can get into the details of the prosecution. There's a lot of things, you know, because I don't have the information in front of me, but apparently a lot of the prosecution, they spinned it in certain ways, right?
Some of the agents were scamming coin and stuff. It's just a crazy saga.
So some of the agents were actually caught, you know, stealing some of the Bitcoin themselves, but they did get prosecuted. But yeah, I think it's an injustice. You know, it's an injustice specifically when you have people like SBF that are literally released on bail. They're free right now. I would make the case that SBF hurt a lot more people than Ross. So I think you hit the nail on the head, Opti, in terms of it was a non-coercive way. But at the same time, you do have to be realistic, and you have to talk about the fact that yes, they were selling drugs on that website, and a lot of those drugs were illegal, right? So, you know, like, you can make the argument, right? Okay, fine, you know, some prison time for sure. He did break the law. Can make that argument, right? But did he deserve two life sentences? Absolutely not. 100% not, right? So that's my take. You know, this is why, you know, Opti and I love doing it with Opti, because Opti's going to do the in-house truth. He's going to tell you exactly what the fuck's on his mind, and then I try to reel it in a little bit more. Reel it in. But yeah, man, it's an absolute injustice. Free Ross, and we will get a Bitcoiner in the White House. And, you know, I truly believe in my heart he will get a pardon, right? So this is all what the peaceful revolution is all about. Free Ross, and you know, eventually I really do hope it's going to happen. You know, absolutely ridiculous. Look, guys, if it was you know, because there's countries where they have zero tolerance for drugs, right? You know, Saudi Arabia, I think Indonesia, Thailand. So there's countries that they do have zero tolerance for drugs. There is death sentences for getting caught drugs and dealing with drugs. But in the U.S. specifically, that's not the case, number one. And number two, I think that there's bigger criminals that are out there that have hurt a lot more people that have gotten less life sentences, right? The fact is that they locked this guy in a maximum security prison, basically in a concrete box. It's an absolute injustice. Does not deserve that. You could make the argument, even though I hate to say it, that maybe he does deserve some time because he did sell drugs and did whatever, but he did not, absolutely did not deserve two life sentences. It is absolutely ridiculous. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to make an example out of him, right? That's what this was about. It was not about serving justice. It was not about this guy must pay for his crimes. It was not about that. It was about setting an example, saying, we're in command here. Can't make those types of websites. End all be all, right? And I find that absolutely ridiculous, absolutely disgusting. And I think I do have hope. I do believe that Ross will be freed, and we will fight. We will fight until that happens. So you got Opti and I's different takes. We like to play both sides, right? Just to be fair. Anyways, Opti, let's talk about the website. Let's talk about the website. Let's promote it a little bit more.
All right, 1 second. That's the memes. I was getting ready for the. I was getting ready for the memes. I got you
okay,
right here.
So you know what? Okay, perfect. All right, so guys, visit freeross.org. Has information. A lot of very predominant people are advocating for clemency. Right, you have Ron Paul in there as well. It's going to tell you all the details. I know Ross has been writing from prison as well. So you know, this sentence must be commuted. Needs a presidential pardon. We will get a Bitcoiner in the White House, and it will happen. It's just, you know, it's just a question of when it will happen. Anyways, Opti, let's get to the memes. Holy cow, we had to cover something dark today. You know, it makes me a little sad.
I try to stay as optimistic as possible, and I did caveat it. This one is going to get some serious, even though we had some Freudian slips in the beginning. So make it a little light. But yeah, man, hey, it is what it is. We do our best to, you know, cover everything, and sometimes it does get a little dark. So, hey, man, it is what it is. Absolutely. We're going to end it with the meme, so it'll get funny.
Absolutely. Guys, we'll always try to give you two perspectives on Simply Bitcoin. We'll try to play devil's advocate just to keep it fair. Keep that in mind. Anyways, everybody, let's get to the meme review. Let's check it out.
The Daily Meme Review.
Brought to you by Kaboom Racks. I get this question all the time. Nico, where should I buy Bitcoin miners? The answer is Kaboom Racks. It's the best place to buy Bitcoin miners. That's where you're going to find the best deals and the best prices. Start your mining utopia today. To check out their racks, you got to go to t.me/KaboomRacks. Join their Telegram group and start your mining journey today. Kaboom Racks.
All right, everybody. Kaboom Racks.
Let's go. Okay, guys, you already know this is your favorite portion of the show. This is the meme review. Drop your meme review score in the chat so we can cover it live. As Nico says all the time, and I have stole, tweets are the bullets, memes are the artillery. You guys are the frontline soldiers. You guys continue to ridicule the corporate press, continue to put truth in art, make people laugh, get people on our side, win the hearts and minds of the masses out there because, you know, people like memes. Whether they think they do or they don't, everyone likes a funny here or there. But continue to make the calls of actions. Continue to push people towards the freedom tools that we continuously cover. Anyways, first meme. I saw this one this morning, Nico, and I think this one's gonna be. I think you're gonna like this one, considering. I know your girlfriend, and I'm sure she's thinking this exact same thing, and I'm sure there's other Bitcoiners out there. So this one's by @TurtleCute33, and he goes true story. And we got a message. It's an iPhone message. It goes, babe, with hearts. It goes, $15,000 out of our checking account. And then babe goes, is it what I think it is? And put some, you know, wedding rings, engagement rings. And then on the bottom, it goes, confirm your Bitcoin purchase of $15,000. Oh man, this one literally made me LOL.
Opti's job is to get Nico in trouble. Like, it's Opti's job. Literally every day, it doesn't stop.
Yes, this is the way. Okay, this next one is by RDBTC, and he goes, "Yes, Dad, busy winning hashtag Bitcoin." And we got an old gray Chad over here that's going blind and goes, "Are you winning, son?" And we got the Chad Bitcoiner over here on his Bitcoin computer on Bitcoin Twitter going, "Yes, Dad, busy winning. Always have been winning, Pops." All right, this next one, shouts out to Darth Coin because he hit me to this morning and had to add it because I think this is an old meme, but I'm going to continuously cover it because first of all, shouts out to 21JCLP, but I really like what he added on top. So for the audio listeners, this is the Bitcoin meme where the guy is sitting on a bench in the dark and the light does like a little wavy thing and it misses the person right under them that is probably a shitcoiner. And it goes to the Bitcoiner learning and it goes, "See the light." And then JC21JCLP goes, "Bitcoin teaches us law, math, energy, history, finance, philosophy, game theory, human rights, macroeconomics, computer science. See the light. Start stacking Bitcoin. This is the way." This next one, shouts out to Just a Pleb, aka at Jim Jones 1913. He's helping us, one of the Bitcoin, Simply Bitcoin producers in the back end. You guys don't know him yet, but you will. We got some things in the work. Anyways, he goes, "Good morning. Get back to what matters." And we got a Pinky in the Brain meme over here. I loved it because I grew up watching Pinky in the Brain. And so we got a Pinky here and goes, "What are we doing today, Brain?" And we got Brain, "Same thing we do every night, Pinky. Stay humble and stack sats. Let's go." Continue to orange pill people. This next one, shouts out to TC, aka at Meditation Man on Twitter. And I really like this. This would be a really good propaganda poster. Like, I could see this on people's walls. Anyways, it just says in all caps, big letters, "Opt out." And we got this protester with a gas mask on. And it looks like it might be a monk, but the monk outfit is the Bitcoin logo. And he's throwing a dollar, but it's really like a frag grenade or, you know, mustard gas or something. I don't know what it is exactly, but throw away your dirty fiat and stack sats, opt out of the madness and opt into the Bitcoin network. This last one, shouts out to Maxi's Club. Absolutely love what you're doing, bro. And he goes, 288, the 288th meme that he's posted on Twitter. He goes, "Don't worry, 2.0. And we got some Bitcoiners at a barbecue, a husband and a wife. And he goes, and the wife goes, "I can't find the baby." And then the dad goes, "Not your keys." And the little kid goes, "Not your Bitcoin. Don't worry. We got the children." Okay. All right. So, of course, guys, drop your meme review in the chat. We will cover it and we'll review it live. Wow. Nico's in the gulag for all the things I'm saying. Let's go.
I'm in the gulag. I have Yellow with me.
Malaka.
He's here. He's having a good time. Do we have any potatoes?
No.
Greg is a potato.
Yeah.
Okay. No.
Okay. Okay. Anyways, my score is Greg. I just said Greg. Is yellow in the gulag. That's my score.
All right, my score is I'm switching this up. I just remembered I had this and I wasn't able to make it, but I do have the invitation and I have Uncle Rockstar's invitation to his funeral.
That was the one in Nash, right?
Yeah, it says you are cordially invited to attend Uncle Rockstar's funeral. I wasn't able to make it, but I do have the card. I was invited. So,
Oh, man. All right, everybody. Before we get to the meme scores, I want to let you guys know about our awesome sponsor, RepresentLTD.com. Opti and I wear the merch every single day. They let me keep my clothing here in the gulag. This is the Simply Bitcoin merch. The hoodie, this is already sold out. The supplies, get it while the supplies last, but you can get the t-shirt version of this. Opti's wearing that one's sold out as well. Guys, you have to get it while it's hot. The t-shirts are still available. Hats are still available.
different designs only represent ltd.com, and you can take advantage of the promo code simply-bitcoin, get 10% off anything on the store, represent ltd.com. Anyways, Opti, let's start getting through some scores. First one by Victor. Simply Bitcoin, I give these memes a big discount score. People are going to clip that and troll me till the end of time. The P-Man Van, I give the memes SBF's future cellmate that makes him... TK, I give the memes Jim's salty gold bug tears.
Yeah, we got a gold bug back in the chat.
He's got a gold bug. All right. The Bitcoin Bugle. I give the memes Dan Held's original tweets. Okay.
Igor, shout out the Bitcoin Bugle, though.
I give the memes a Karen yelling at a wall. Very nice. Very nice.
A Karen gold bug yelling at Bitcoiners.
Frank Arn says, I give the memes one gigantic Freudian slip revealing what we are really thinking about. It's never going to be let go. Kazen, my meme score is Nico slip up a big. You know what happened? It's in the name discount, right? Anyways. Freedom, I can't even explain it. It's done and dusted. Freedom Fighter 14, my meme score is Nico's Gulag background. It's not a background. I'm actually here. Be aware and focus memes because of what Opti says.
Don't blame me. Take personal responsibility.
It is your fault. Meme score for 2024 party in El Salvador. Absolutely. The meme factory party is going to be off the wall. Shout out Big Sean. Global Nonsense says, I give the memes... at Jim's Thorne's son's stupidity for not educating himself on Bitcoin.
It's savage. I didn't even read that one. I think that's the last one.
No, it's because of the buzzer. It's because of the buzzer. Anyways, also, guys, check out Simply Bitcoin Unfiltered. It's absolutely free. It's the written version of this show. Check out our awesome writers, Zach Wall, Pinicus, Matt.
Did you say Pinicus?
Dude, I'm slipping up all day today.
Pinicus?
Paul. What the fuck, Opti? All right, go to www.simplybitcoin.news. Jesus Christ. Okay, go also check out Simply Bitcoin Telegram group. t.me/simplybitcointv. All right, okay, we're moving on. Plebsites.
Plebsites.
Brought to you by CipherSafe. Don't be that person that loses their Bitcoin seed due to fire damage, water damage, dog attacks. Back up your generational Bitcoin wealth on Steel. And there's no better place to do it than the Cypher Grid by CipherSafe. And now check out their new Bitcoin art, the Bitcoin Rulux Triangle, only on CipherSafe.io.
All right, guys. So you guys know the deal. You guys know the drill. It is Friday. So we are covering some of the comments and the streams from our Fountain Valley for Value Economy. Appreciate everyone streaming us stuff. Appreciate all you guys clipping us as well on Twitter and spreading that signal. So again, I couldn't cover every single stream sat. So I, because it's a lot, guys, we really appreciate it. So I went in there and I just took the new names that we had in the last week or so, 7 days actually. And so I don't have every stream sat you gave us, but we really appreciate it. I just picked out the different names that we have in there. So there's a few. Let me get it through this. So first one, we got some stream sats from @NW. He was streaming us some sats for our boy, Nick Can't Mind, stacking sats for Legacy. Appreciate it, man. Really appreciate it. We got some love on that one, Nico. So we're going to have to keep going on that one. So the next one.
You got the green light for me, bro.
Let's go. We got the next tip is some more stream sats. This one's on the Marty Bent. We will win Simply Bitcoin IRL. This is by rag3_AF. Really appreciate it, bro. Appreciate all the stream sats. You are one of the dudes that was hitting us with a bunch of stream sats. This next one is by Clark Ian, dude. Appreciate it. I think you were the most heavy stream sat last week, and you might have been again this week. Streamed us some sats for the Nick Can't Mind, TTO. Stacking sats for Legacy. Let's go. So let me see. I think this was all just Clark Ian. This next one is an income boost. 950 sats. Actually, a couple of them by @Hanza1. This is on the Marty Bent. We will win Simply Bitcoin IRL. Highly recommend you guys go watch that one. Marty dropped the sauce in regards to everything going on and whether we should be worried about the CBDCs. We're continuously going to spread that signal, guys. Don't be worried. Bitcoin will win. We are winning. Anyways, this next one is StreamSat by Brian Hazel. And this was on episode 662. I think that was yesterday. Breaking Bitcoin legal tender, Arizona, streaming us some sats. Really appreciate it. Some more StreamSats by Clark Ian. Let's see. We got a few StreamSats, just anonymous through Breeze. Doesn't have episode, but we got an 8-sat stream and a 9-sat stream. Really appreciate it. I think I covered Rag 3AF as well, but these are on episode 661, so appreciate it, bro. And let's see. We got a few more Rag 3s, and at the bottom, we got some boosts, 316-sat boosts, a couple of them by CryoSat on the Marty Bent We Will Win Simply Bitcoin IRL. So the people are loving the Marty Bent clip. Actually, I think we have a few. There is a clip on Twitter, but I didn't pull it up. I just remembered about it. So, but anyways, appreciate it, everyone. It is Friday. Doing our best.
Guys, don't forget to subscribe on our audio version podcast, Anchor, Spotify, Apple, Fountain. Definitely don't want to miss the audio version of this show. Guys, thank you so much for joining us another week of Simply Bitcoin Live. But the party does continue all the way to 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So about 40 minutes, we are co-hosting a space with our friends over at Swan Bitcoin. Best place to stack sats built by Bitcoiners for Bitcoiners. Also, shout out to producer Jacob for holding it down as well. Guys, if you enjoyed the episode, you know what to do. Smash that like button. Consider subscribing if you feel like we provided you value. And also the number one thing you could do to help this show and in fact, help the peaceful revolution forward, push it forward, is share this content. In fact, share all Bitcoin content. A lot of things were said in this show, guys, but keep in mind what we want is Bitcoin mass adoption, and get familiar with the concept of the Overton window as well. We will see you on Monday for a brand new episode of Simply Bitcoin Live. We love you all. Have a great and awesome weekend. Peace out.